Welcome to Afterglow. I'm your host, Mark Chilla. This week, our spotlight is on one of the finest and most underrated female vocalists from the war years, Jo Stafford. Stafford had one of the purest vocal sounds of any of the great songbook singers, and her repertoire extended from standards to bebop to even American folk music. And as cool and unaffected as she seemed behind the microphone, Jo Stafford also had a wry sense of humor that emerged in some novelty records she recorded incognito. This hour will chronicle her career. It's the versatile Jo Stafford, coming up next on Afterglow.
And is daydreaming just like me.
Joe Stafford, performing late in her career, on a track from her 1960 album for Columbia Records called Joe Plus Jazz, one of her only pure jazz recordings. That was the Duke Ellington and Billy Strayhorn tune Daydream, and a number of Ellington's band members were also featured on this album, including saxophonists Ben Webster and Johnny Hodges, plus trumpeter Ray Nance. The arrangement there was by Johnny Mandel. Mark Chilla here on Afterglow. This week, I'm turning the spotlight onto one of the most versatile singers of the Great American Songbook, the one and only Joe Stafford.
No love, no nothing.
Joe Stafford possessed one of the purest, warmest voices in all of American popular song. It was a cool and unaffected sound. She had the style of a cool jazz singer in the generation before those kinds of singers existed. She started as a big band vocalist and then turned into a solo balladeer. But unlike some other vocalists from her era, Stafford never added any artifice to her voice. She wasn't a personality, which might be why she's less iconic today. She didn't heighten her girlish charm like Doris Day, nor did she ramp up her sultriness like Peggy Lee. Instead, Joe Stafford just sang, clearly and directly, and she did it better than just about anybody else.
No love, no nothing.
Stafford got her start as the youngest of the Stafford Sisters in Southern California, a girl group in the model of the Boswell Sisters or the King Sisters. The group didn't last long. Joe was the only sister who wanted to pursue a career in singing. So eventually she joined forces with two other singing groups to form the ensemble, the Pied Pipers.
Until I smile at you.
They were originally an octet, but then reduced their numbers to a quartet, with Stafford as the only female. The Pied Pipers were discovered by Tommy Dorsey and one of his arrangers, Paul Weston, in the late 1930s. In 1939, Dorsey hired the Pied Pipers to back up his budding lead singer at the time, a guy by the name of Frank Sinatra.
My eye, my heart would realize.
By 1940, Sinatra and the Pied Pipers, led by Joe Stafford's beautiful alto voice, became sensations. Their song I'll Never Smile Again from May of 1940 holds the distinction of being the very first number one single ever issued by Billboard magazine.
I'm so in love with you.
By 1941, Joe Stafford was a proven talent within the Dorsey organization, so much so that Dorsey gave her the opportunity to sing her own song solo, eclipsing the other female singer in the band, Connie Haynes. The song was Little Man with a Candy Cigar, and it started her solo career. Over the next year and a half, Stafford was the lead vocalist on more than a dozen songs with the Dorsey Orchestra. We'll hear two of those Joe Stafford songs now, beginning with Little Man with a Candy Cigar on Afterglow.
What a pensive mood for such a little man, sitting all alone, chin cupped in your hand. Don't let me disturb your dream.
you're making with the jive, boy, you shout when it hits you.
Yes, indeed.
Yes, yes. Yes, you shout when it hits you.
Yes, indeed.
When the spirit moves you, you shout hallelujah.
I mean,
when it hits you, you holler.
Yes, indeed.
Yes, yes.
It comes out if it's in you. Yes, indeed.
Yes, indeed.
Makes you shout, Jack, it sends you. Yes, indeed.
Well, let it hit you. When the jive starts jumping, you shout.
Let me in there.
Well, all right. When it hits you, you holler.
Yeah.
Joe Stafford, Cy Oliver, and the Tommy Dorsey Orchestra with the Oliver tune, Yes Indeed. And before that, we heard Stafford with the Matt Dennis tune, Little Man with a Candy Cigar. Both of those recordings are from the early 1940s. In 1942, Frank Sinatra left Dorsey's orchestra to pursue a solo career. And a few months later, the Pied Pipers did the same. About a year earlier, Joe Stafford and the Pied Pipers had met the singer-songwriter Johnny Mercer. At that meeting, Mercer promised them that whenever he started his own record label, he would not only sign the group, but also sign Joe as a solo artist. By the time the Pied Pipers had left Dorsey's orchestra, Mercer had co-founded Capitol Records, and he made good on his promise. The Pied Pipers and Joe Stafford were among the first artists signed. It became clear early on that Joe Stafford was bigger than the Pied Pipers. She'd left the group in 1943 to go solo full-time. Very quickly, Joe Stafford became one of the most successful acts from the war years, earning the nickname G.I. Joe.
Candy, I call my sugar candy.
Between 1943 and 1950, Joe Stafford recorded 48 consistently high-quality hits for Capitol, making her the biggest star on the label, even bigger than the president himself, Johnny Mercer. Here are a few of those Capitol hits from Joe Stafford in the 1940s, beginning with the Rodgers and Hammerstein tune, The Gentleman is a Dope, on Afterglow.
The gentleman is a dope, a man of many faults, a clumsy Joe who wouldn't know rumba from a waltz. The gentleman is a dope and not my cup of tea. Why do I get in a dither? He doesn't belong to me. The gentleman isn't bright. He doesn't know the score. A cake will come, he'll take a crumb and never ask for more. The gentleman's eyes are blue, but little do they see. Why am I beating my brains out? He doesn't belong to me. He's somebody else's problem. She's welcome to the guy. Smart. He's just a lug you'd like to hug and hold against your heart. The gentleman doesn't know how happy he could be, but look at me crying my eyes out as if he belonged to me. The gentleman doesn't know how happy he could be. Look at me crying my eyes out as if he belonged to me.
Sunday kind of love.
this scheming every minute, every hour, every day. I'm hoping to discover a certain kind of lover who will show me the way my arms need someone to enfold. A cold, a love for all my life to have and to hold. I want a Sunday kind of love. A love for all.
Joe Stafford in 1947 with A Sunday Kind of Love. Before that, we heard her in 1949 with the Rodgers and Hammerstein song, Some Enchanted Evening. And starting that set, another Rodgers and Hammerstein song, this one from the musical Allegro. That was The Gentleman is a Dope. All of those recordings featured Paul Weston and his orchestra, who at the time was Stafford's musical director and friend. Later on, Paul Weston would become her husband. In the 1940s, Joe Stafford showcased her range by recording not just pop songs, but spirituals, folk songs, comedy songs, and even bebop numbers. At the same time that she was becoming a star in the pop market, she was also becoming a star in a completely different market. Stafford started to record spirituals, making her a star in the mostly Southern religious section of American society. One of these spiritual hits was Whispering Hope, which she sang with singer and actor Gordon McRae.
Breathing a lesson on her, hope with a gentle persuasion, whispers her comforting word.
But the same year she was recording this, 1949, she was also becoming a pioneering voice in bebop jazz. Stafford recorded a wordless scat tune called Jolly Joe with the Dave Lambert Singers, one of the very first vocal bebop tunes. Stafford was a chameleon who could slide into any genre that Capitol Records put in front of her. In 1948, Stafford also recorded an album of traditional American folk songs, which included Wayfaring Stranger and Barbara Allen. These are songs that most big-name pop artists wouldn't touch. The album was called American Folk Songs, and at times, it's a bit hokey, but other times, absolutely sublime. It became a surprise hit for Joe Stafford that year, influencing the next generation of folk musicians like Judy Collins. Stafford and Paul Weston's orchestra even re-recorded the album in 1962, in the middle of the new folk revival movement. I'll play for you now a track from that early 1960s remake of the American Folk Songs album. The accompaniment here is very Copland-esque, but take note of how effortless and beautiful Stafford's delivery is. Here's Joe Stafford with the traditional American folk tune, Shenandoah, on Afterglow.
Oh, Shenandoah, I long to see. See you. Oh. Shenandoah, I long to see.
Joe Stafford and Paul Weston's orchestra with the traditional folk song Shenandoah. That's from Stafford's 1962 album called American Folk Songs. We'll have more from singer Joe Stafford in just a bit. Stay with us. Production support for Afterglow comes from Soma Coffee House and Juice Bar, specializing in juices, espressos, and fair trade organic coffee. Serving from downtown at Kirkwood and Grant and on the corner of 3rd and Jordan. Online at iHeartSoma.com. I'm Mark Chilla, and you're listening to the versatile Joe Stafford on Afterglow. Welcome back to Afterglow. I'm Mark Chilla. We've been exploring the career of singer Joe Stafford this hour. By 1950, Stafford's time at Capitol Records had come to a close, and she, along with her music director Paul Weston, made the move to Columbia Records. 2 years later, Stafford and Weston were married, and they remained together, both as musical and life partners, until his death in 1996. They spent the next decade recording for Columbia. She would more or less go into retirement by the early 1960s. Stafford made occasional appearances on television and radio, but she was most at ease in the recording studio. Like she did for Capitol Records, Joe Stafford exercised her versatility on Columbia by recording jazz tunes, pop tunes, country songs, gospel and religious numbers, Scottish folk songs, Christmas songs, Broadway hits, and even the blues. I'll spend my time focusing on her pop and jazz hits from this era, and let's start off with her pop work. Stafford had been a fixture on the pop charts in the 1940s, and it was no different in the 1950s. In fact, her biggest selling single came in 1952, the sentimental song by the female songwriter Chilton Price called You Belong to Me. It was one of the top-selling singles of 1952, and Paul Weston's arrangement does everything all at once. It has elements of jazz, pop, swing, R&B, and even a little bit of country. Here's Joe Stafford in 1952 with You Belong to Me on Afterglow.
Darling, all the while, you belong was waltzing with my darling to the Tennessee waltz when an old friend I happened to see. I introduced her to my loved one, and while they were waltzing, my friend stole my sweetheart from me. I remember the night and the Tennessee waltz. Now I know just how much I have lost. Yes, lost my little darling the night they were playing the beautiful Tennessee.
Hits for Joe Stafford on Columbia Records in the early 1950s. We just heard her version of the Pee Wee King song Tennessee Waltz from 1951, a version that didn't sell quite as well as Patti Page's version from a few years earlier. And before that, we heard Stafford's biggest hit, You Belong to Me, a version of that song that was far more successful than Patti Page's. I'll spend some time now exploring some of the jazz offerings from Stafford in the 1950s and early 1960s. Stafford was never a jazz singer, per se, at least not like Ella Fitzgerald and Sarah Vaughan. But she was so skilled and versatile that when she had to wear that hat, she did it easily and confidently. Here's a jazzy tune by Joe Stafford. This is her with Paul Weston's orchestra and the Star Letters in 1952 with Irving Berlin's Blue Skies. On Afterglow.
Blue skies smiling at me, nothing but blue skies do I see. Blue birds singing a song, nothing but blue birds all day long. Never saw the sun shining so bright, never saw things going so right. Noticing the days hurrying by, when you're in love, my, how they fly. Blue days, all of them gone, nothing but blue skies from now on.
Nothing but blue skies from look at you and suddenly something in your eyes I see soon begins bewitching me. It's that old devil moon that you stole from the skies. It's that old devil moon in your eyes. You and your glance make this romance too hot to handle. Stars in the night blazing their light can't hold a candle. Got me flying high and wide on a magic carpet ride full of butterflies inside. Wanna cry, wanna croon, wanna laugh just like a loon. It's that old devil moon in your eyes. Just when I think I'm as a dove, old devil moon deep in your eyes blinds me with love. Wanna cry, wanna croon, wanna
home to. You'd be so nice by the fire while the breeze on high sang a lullaby. You'd be all that I could desire under stars that are chilled by the wind. Under an August moon burning above, you'd be so nice, you'd be paradise to come home to and love. stars that are chilled by the winter under an August moon burning above. You'd be so
Joe Stafford in 1960 from her album Joe Plus Jazz. That was the Cole Porter tune, You'd Be So Nice to Come Home To. Before that, we heard Stafford in 1958 from the album Swingin' Down Broadway, performing Old Devil Moon. And starting that set, we heard her in 1952 with Blue Skies. And now, from the sublime to the ridiculous, I need to focus on one somewhat remarkable aspect of Joe Stafford's career. Her comedy. As I've said before, Stafford was a blank slate as a singer. She could transform her voice to fit any style. However, when she wanted to inject a little humor into her music, Stafford felt it necessary to assume a different identity. We actually have two examples of this, one from the 1940s and another from the 1950s and beyond. Her first assumed identity, for the sake of comedy, was the hillbilly singer Cinderella G. Stump. The story goes that in 1947, Red Engel, a comedic country singer for Capitol Records, known mostly for his work with Spike Jones, was making a novelty record of the pop standard called Temptation, which he countrified to Temptation. Red Engel's girl singer never showed up to the session, so Joe Stafford, who also worked for Capitol at the time, stepped in at the last second. She sang the tune in a pretty convincing country accent, but she didn't want any credit, so she gave herself the pseudonym of Cinderella G. Stump. Word eventually got out that it was really Joe Stafford singing, and that made Temptation an even bigger hit. Here's Joe Stafford, a.k.a. Cinderella G. Stump, with Red Engel and the Natural Seven performing Temptation on Afterglow.
Oh, tell me, will you, darling, why you look so bad tonight? There's bags around your eyeballs, which is red instead of white.
Well, if for this away you came when I was alone, shucks, I should have known that you was Temptation. You smiled a leering me on, my heart is plumb gone, 'cause you was Temptation. It'd be thrilling if and you're willing, but if and it never can be, then pity for me, for you was too bored to be kissed. I couldn't resist, 'cause you was Temptation and I was yours.
The apple tempted Eve, as a mud hole tempts a mosquito, darling.
That's how you tempted me.
And as corn liquor tempts a drunkard, as sorghum tempts a bee, as a willow tree tempts a caterpillar, darling.
That's how you tempted me. You came when I was alone, shucks, I should have known that you was Temptation.
One of Joe Stafford's novelty records, that was her and Red Engel in 1947 performing a hillbilly version of the pop standard Temptation. Stafford's other foray into comedy came in the late 1950s, and also under an assumed name. The story behind this creation goes that Stafford and her husband, Paul Weston, were growing tired of the awful music that Columbia music director Mitch Mitchell would have them record. So they began to parody that music under the adopted alter egos of Jonathan and Darlene Edwards, two high society performers who were also terrible musicians. They took their comedy act to Hollywood parties, performing standards out of tune and in poor taste, in only a way that two actual incredible musicians could accomplish. Eventually, Jonathan and Darlene Edwards recorded their act and even won a Grammy Award for Best Comedy Album in 1961. Now, for a singer who was almost incapable of singing a wrong note, there's some irony in the fact that Joe Stafford's only Grammy came from when she was purposefully out of tune. To close off this hour, here is Jonathan and Darlene Edwards, aka the real husband and wife team of Paul Weston and Joe Stafford, and their absurd version of I Love Paris on Afterglow.
I love Paris in the springtime. I love Paris in the fall. I love Paris in the winter. When it drizzles, I love Paris in the summer when it sizzles. I love Paris every moment, every moment of the year. Summer when it sizzles. I love Paris every moment, every moment of the year. I love Paris, boy, oh boy. It sizzles also in the fall, summer when it drizzles, springtime best of all.
The comedy duo of Jonathan and Darlene Edwards, alter egos of Paul Weston and Joe Stafford. That was their unique take on Cole Porter's I Love Paris. And thanks for tuning in to this look at the music of Joe Stafford on Afterglow. Afterglow is part of the educational mission of Indiana University and produced by WFIU Public Radio in beautiful Bloomington, Indiana. The executive producer is John Bailey. Production support for Afterglow comes from Soma Coffee House and Juice Bar, specializing in juices, espressos, and fair trade organic coffee. Serving from downtown at Kirkwood and Grant and on the corner of 3rd and Jordan. Online at iHeartSoma.com. I'm Mark Chilla, and join me next week for our mix of vocal jazz and popular song from the Great American Songbook, here on Afterglow.